This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Weekend Breakfast with Tiroajo Maachi.
16 minutes after 8 o'clock, let's get into this conversation with Danielle Steinfart, speaking to us about, you know, the finances of being married, because, I mean, money can be quite the conflict in marriage. But also, I know that her and her husband, Jean-Pierre, they had, you know, quite a difficult time in conceiving and really then finding out about infertility. Yeah, because I can't mess up those two words. Danielle, good morning to you. Thanks for your time.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to chat to you guys.
I am just as excited because I followed your journey on the socials regarding your infertility. Share with us a bit about that and really the expenses that goes into infertility.
Yeah, it was very unexpected. I think growing up, you as women, we dream about that perfect wedding. And then as soon as you married, you start thinking about family and children. And, you know, you want to keep up with the Joneses. And you make all your plans. And our plans just didn't work out. We just realized we aren't conceiving. And I really never thought that it would be a problem. We're 5 siblings. And all of my other siblings fell pregnant so easily. So I thought it was just going to be one of those things. You know, you think that you want to be pregnant. And then you are. And it just wasn't the case. And so after a year of struggling, we went to the doctor. And he then told me, no, I've got endometriosis, got rid of the endometriosis. And then there was just one problem after the other. Sure. And nothing made sense. And at the end of it all, they just came to the conclusion that my husband and I, our bodies reject each other. And so we never wanted to really accept that, you know. So we went from doctor to doctor, trying every single possible fertility treatment you can think of. Mm. And it's so sad because I think also it's expensive. And I think sometimes the medical industry plays a little bit on your emotions, and they know, like, you'll do anything to be able to have that one thing that connects you and your husband, you know, that child. But fortunately, our story ended so beautifully because we turned to adoption. My husband is also adopted, and our little Zinzi just changed our life completely. So I have to say, even looking back at all of it, all of the expenses, I will pay it all again. I will go through all of the trials and tribulations again. I'll cry all over again if it means that I get to have Zinzi as my daughter.
Oh, wow. And we'll come to that, right? The adoption process as well, and accepting that you actually can't have children of your own. I mean, we initially, of course, wanted to speak around the issue of infertility and how you've survived it. But I'd also like to get an understanding financially, you know, as you also mentioned, it's quite expensive. And what has been your experience then with that financial aspect of trying to conceive? And as you say, you know, the medical fraternity as well, not exactly the cheapest, but they'll also work on your emotions. So what was your experience together with JP and how it impacted or affected your relationship?
There was a lot of financial stress on us. We never did IVF because it was the one thing that we felt like we're not going to take that money out for that, because that's, I think that is like your most expensive treatment. We always said that we're going to first try all the other treatments. And so you're looking at around 7,000 rand a month if you're doing proper treatments for your whole cycle and getting all of the injections. Your smaller fertility treatments, it costs around 4,000 rand. And then that's without your actual consultation fee of your gynecologist. And then they don't want to see you just once, you know, before your cycle starts. They want to see you before so that they can test, is your cycle actually going to start? Are you going to ovulate? Then every time you see them, it's like you're cashing up 2,000 rand every time, over and above your actual treatment. So for close to 7 years, we spend more or less 7,000 rand every month on fertility treatments. So if you go and calculate the cost of that, you know, it does put you in a little bit of a pinch.
Sure.
And we had to get to a place where we had to have a discussion and talk to each other about, like, how long are we going to do this? Because financially, you know, you also have to think, I own my own business. My husband has a steady income, which is great. I think as a married couple, it's good to have one steady one. And then, you know, when you have your own business, it's always up and down. But we always we had to make financial decisions that will actually impact our future in a good way. And that's when we got to the point where we said, okay, let's reevaluate where we are and how we are spending our money, you know, together.
And so, you know, at which point, Danielle, and I'm glad that you speak about the money, because I'm going to ask this question in two parts. At which point do you, did you and JP say, all right, we're done, you know, let's go the adoption route? And also, when you had that conversation about the money, how important was that for you? Because we know how sensitive money conversations can be. They can either make or break any form of relationship.
Definitely. I think, you know, money conversations are one of the biggest fights we had, especially when we just got married. We've been married now close to 12 years. And I remember that those first 2 or 3 years, all of our fights were about money. And the one best person overspending, the other one not saving, the other one spending it on stuff that you feel is not necessary, and just not having those conversations. And I do think our infertility journey taught me a lot about having those open conversations. I think we got to a point where we realized this wasn't working. And I think we also just, we realized, like, if this was not part of God's plan for now, we can't try and control it. We can't play, you know, we can't overplay God's hand. And we actually sat around a table and we had an open conversation. And the fact that we stopped with the fertility treatments never meant that we didn't want kids. We still wanted to try to fall pregnant. I think we just at that point decided that we're not going to put in any extra money into that. And I think we got to a point where we had to make peace with what we have and to make the best out of it. Finance talks in our marriage was really hectic, because for the longest time in our marriage, JP wasn't playing open cards with me regarding his finances. And so before we got married, he wanted to get married like immediately. And I told him, please don't ask me to marry you until you paid off all your debt. So my husband made a really good salary from a very young age. And he didn't know how to, I just quickly want to.
No problem.
You can hear me,
yes,
right?
Yes, can hear you loud.
Sorry, my signal is just, okay. So from a very young age, he received quite a big salary, which meant that he had to make good decisions with his money. And when you're young, you don't make good decisions. You know, you spend, and when you make a big salary, you can make a lot of debt as well. And unfortunately, he made a few mistakes at his young age. And he never told me about it. I never really knew exactly what was going on in his finances. And I told him, I don't want to get married when you have debt. So pay off your debt and then ask me to marry you. And obviously my husband really wanted to get married to me. So he said, okay, no, it's paid off. And I believed him. And so we got married. And not far into our marriage, I realized, oh my goodness, like, this is hectic. We are in trouble. Like, we need to get the debt settled. And obviously that was hectic conversations, you know, at the point where you actually stand on divorce, because financial pressure really causes pressure in every other part of your marriage. And it is a lot, and people don't necessarily want to talk about it because we feel like finances are a personal thing. But the day you get married, your finances and your partner's finances becomes your problem too. And I think, you know, just playing open cards about that, and we learned the hard way. So when we got to the fertility point, we knew that we need to talk openly about this. And there was a stage where I still wanted to pay more money into you know, that journey. And I realized that I had to respect my husband, because I knew that at that stage he was making decisions for our marriage.
And, you know, let's then speak about your journey to adopting Zinzi. I mean, after going through all this infertility, you know, treatments and trying to, you know, put the money in for it. And then you decided, okay, let's hold off on that. Let's try and adopt a child. How was that journey for you, especially after the difficulties that you've had?
I have to say, adoption was one of the most difficult things we've ever done in our life. My husband's adopted as well, and we always wanted to adopt. We just never thought that we would not be able to conceive. But when we decided, okay, let's do this, you know, it's again, it is quite hefty on your pocket, adoption. And it's sad because it shouldn't be. You know, it's sad that that's at this stage in our country that it's become a thing. But we made that decision that we wanted to adopt. And you know, the biggest struggle of adoption wasn't the financial part. The biggest struggle of adoption was getting everybody on board. When we told our inner circle, people close to us, that we were adopting, you know, the racial card was played, and are you going to adopt a black child? Is it going to be a white child? And, you know, then everything started becoming real and hectic, and you realize that people aren't necessarily who you think they are. And you also realize that racism is still very real in our country. And so adoption was hard for us because we lost a lot of people that we loved because we adopted interracially. Would I do it again? Yes. Without a doubt, I would do it again. We've lost a lot of people that we have loved, but I can tell you that Zinzi has filled in spots in our life that we didn't even know existed.
And I'm going to ask that question, Danielle, you know, because I think it happens so often that we do see the white couples adopting a black child. Was there any specific reason for you, or it just happened that, look, our child is black, so what?
No, we had no, there was no reason for it. We saw the social worker and we said, listen, we want to adopt a child. We don't care race, we don't care about culture, we don't care about anything. We didn't care. We just knew that if there's a need, we've got a need. We want a child. They have a need. They need parents. Whoever you match us up with, we'll be happy. And it so happened that the social worker told us in advance that the possibility of you adopting a black child is way bigger than adopting a white child in South Africa at this stage. So if you wanted a white child, you would more or less wait 6 years. There's a waiting list. But we can, you know, or we can match you up, but you need to be okay with it. You need to speak to your family. Everybody needs to be on board. And we never cared. I can promise you I've never, and it's not that I don't see color, because that would be a blatant lie. We see color, but we celebrate our diversities. You know, it's beautiful that we live in a country that is so diverse and that we can be part of each other's lives. I think the biggest fear for us was that we never wanted Zinzi to lose her culture. And so we've been working really, really hard to stay connected to people that help us to raise this beautiful Khoza girl.
And I mean, she is the cutest human. She is so adorable, right? But
thanks.
And I mean, it also is important for her, like you say, to still have her Khoza culture and, you know, understand who she is. And with that, how have you and JP really tried to ensure that, you know, besides the people that you're working with at home as well, how are you also just working around that situation?
So it's important for us that she speaks an African language. I think that was one of the biggest things that we really wanted her to be able to do. So our nanny speaks, she doesn't speak Khoza, but she speaks Tswana to her. Mm-hmm. And so she speaks Afrikaans and English. And then we've got a lot of friends that's really helping us to raise this girl up in her culture. I think the biggest change for us was, and this sounds so silly even just saying it, but hair. Like, our hair is so different. And I wanted Zinzi to absolutely love her hair, you know? And it was important for me to learn how to style her hair, how to braid her hair, how to do cornrows, how to do needlework. So I've been educating myself on that so that it could be a time that we spent together, you know, special moments between a mom and a daughter.
Share with us then, you know, as we spoke about all this financial burden that you and JP have had to go through and the discussions that you've also had to have. I understand that you and Jean-Pierre have got a relationship with Momentum. What is that about?
So we actually had a beautiful interview with them, Momentum. I think it's a Momentum Science for Success. I think it's also available on YouTube, on Momentum's YouTube. And I think this was also such a breakthrough for me and JP, because that was the first time we started speaking openly about our finances, you know, and it was such a lacquer experience with Momentum to be able to say, you know what, every single financial struggle that we go through, you're not alone. Every single married couple goes through these things. There are moments where you have to speak about debt. There are moments where you have to speak about, okay, I've got a lot of money coming in. How are we going to handle it? You know, I've got these expenses. How are we going to split it up? And I think as couples, we never talk about it because it's such a private thing. So with Momentum, it is so nice to be able to have these conversations and to help each other to know, like, listen, we're not alone. Let's do our finances and let's do it together. Let's help each other. Where did I make mistakes so that other people don't have to make those mistakes?
Absolutely. And for those who would like to get in touch with you, Danielle, you know, for the issue also around the financial burden that one could go through or the difficulties that they're also facing financially when it comes to either infertility or adopting, how can they do so?
Please connect with me via Instagram. My handle is at d.niel_sa. And so that's at d.niel_sa. I would absolutely love to connect with anybody. My heart is absolutely people, and it's so fun being able to do life together.
Well, thank you for your time. Please send our love to JP and to Zinzi. And we can't wait one day, hopefully, to meet all three of you in studio.
That would be awesome. Thanks for having me, and thank you for an incredible show.
Thank you. Thank you, Danielle Steinfarte, speaking to us about the financial journey, really, that her and JP went through with infertility, but also with adopting and the relationship that they have now with Momentum.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.